Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome, everyone. Good to see everybody back.
Yeah.
You start off, this is a good month. Elul is considered a mazel dika month. The month of Teshuva, where the whatever challenges we've had during the year with Hashem, Elul is like the month where Hashem welcomes us back. And it's the they always talk about the initials for Elul spell Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li, that I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. It's a good way to really start, because we're in the prophets that were there when the Jewish people were in the land of Eretz Israel, and they had the society had gone corrupt, and Hashem was warning them that I'm going to kick you out, and the people never believed that Hashem was going to do it. And this is a syndrome. It says that Noach, even though he built this giant ark and he worked on it for years and years and years, and Hashem said, I'm going to bring the flood, he wouldn't go in the ark until the rain got too heavy. Because until the last minute, he just never believed it was going to happen. And there were lots of Jews in Germany before the Holocaust who just, they just said, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen here. They refused to believe it. So the prophets were trying to convince the people that there had to be change. And so, and it didn't work. But we get it, to some degree, we get an idea of how did we get where we're at? In other words, why didn't, as a people, where did we not succeed? And what kind of nation do we need to build now? In other words, what are the things that Hashem considers important? And that's kind of the image that we get. This is an interesting part of it. We're in chapter 5 in Yeshaya, verse 1. And this is called a song. And it's a funny song. Usually songs are very happy. Usually the idea of a song is like a very, it's like a happy communication with Hashem. So here it's talking about a happy communication. In a certain way, Eretz Yisrael was supposed to be like an ideal life. Like here we were the descendants of the forefathers, and we had accepted the Torah, and we were going to live this life, each man with his vineyard under his tree, and we were going to serve Hashem, and it was going to be a light unto the nations, and everything was going to be perfect. And then somehow it didn't work. So here we're painting the picture, and then we'll see what happened. Ashira Nali Yididi, I will sing for my beloved, Shiras Dodi, my love song, about my vineyard. Kerem Hayilididi, my beloved one had a vineyard. A vineyard was the most precious commodity. In those days, the only drink they had, the main drink was wine. And wine, a good vineyard was worth a lot. That was something that somebody was proud of. It was something that somebody had joy from. It was their vineyard. So my beloved had a vineyard. And it was Bekeren Ben Shemen. And it was in a corner that was, in Hebrew, the word Shemen means fat. But it means that it was in a very good location, a very fertile location. So he had the perfect place to... Now, the idea of a vineyard is that something will grow and it'll produce really good wine. It'll produce a really good thing. And so the Jewish people has the best place to grow, which is Eretz Yisrael. And we would produce really good wine, like it was a very good plan. So my beloved is Hashem, and he had a vineyard, which is the land of Israel, which is a place that can produce really good wine, bring the best out of the Jewish people. And it's the ideal place. It's the place where things grow fat, where they grow well. Now, in order to plant them there, you had to clear away what was there before, but that's no problem. Yeskeo Hashem cleared it away. He got rid of the weeds. Yeskeo, he got rid of the stones. Vayeteu Shorek. And he planted the best vines. But even Migdal Besocho, and in the middle of it, he planted a tower to protect it and to keep, keep, the animals away, keep, I guess if you wouldn't have a tower, then maybe people would help themselves to it. But if you had a tower there, that showed everybody to. In a certain way, the tower is like the Beis Hamikdash, like it's like the tower. The Gam Yechav Katzibo, and also there was a vat there. The Kavulasis Anavim, and the plan was to produce really good wine grapes. The only problem was V'yas Bushim. Instead, we got Bushim. Bushim are like berries. I don't know in modern Hebrew if it is. I think they're like sour berries. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He calls them wild berry, but I think it was basically their plan was to create this great vineyard, this perfect spot, and everything was done and prepared, and the best vines. And somehow it didn't go to plan. Instead of producing this nation that would be the chosen people, that would be the light unto the nations, something went sour. Verse 3, the Ata, and now, Yoshev Yushalayim, you residents of Yushalayim, the Ish Yehuda and men of Yehuda, Shaftana Bein Yu Bein Karmi, you tell me what to do. If you were in charge over here, what would you do? It's the pedagogical way of giving a message. You speak to the person, what should I do? Ma lasis od lekarmi, what am I going to do now to the vineyard? It's not growing the right things. So what are you going to do? Lo asisibo, madua kavisi lasas novim, and why is it that I wanted to produce grapes and v'yas bushim, and I'm getting these bushim? What are we going to do? It's very funny how we got out of the song into the question, right? It's the sometimes that's the best question, like if a person has to discipline someone, or they say, what would you do in my, what am I, this is what I need to happen, and this is what's happening, so what would you suggest? Right? In other words, throw it into the other person's, so what am I supposed to do about it now? Five. Ata odia na eskam es asher ne'osu l'karmi. So now I'm going to tell you ahead of time what I'm going to do. I'm going to be fair about this. I tried to create a vineyard. It didn't work. I need to start over. What am I going to do? So, Haser Mishkono, I'm going to remove the fence. V'hayla ver paretz gedera, v'hayla mirmas, and I'll let the whatever's growing there be trampled over. And verse 6, v'ashiseu, and I will let it be destroyed, below Yizamer, below Yadra, and I won't plow it, and I won't work it anymore. And if you open it up, invariably it'll be Shamer Vishis. It'll be like wiped out. It'll become a shortcut. People will walk through it, Vala of him, and on the clouds, it's Sabbat Mahamta. I won't water it anymore either. So this vineyard that had the watering, that had the protection, instead I'm going to open it up and let it be, leave it to its own, so to speak. In some ways, it's like Hashem didn't really punish us when he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. He just took away his protection. All right, you don't need me? See what you can do on your own. I'm not going to water you anymore. I'm not going to prune you. I'm not going to keep my fence there. You see what you'll do. Verse 7. Ki kerem Hashem sfachus beiz Yisrael. Because the Jewish people is a vineyard. We're made to produce really good fruits. The ish Yehuda nata shashuav. And the house of Israel and the people of Yehuda, this word shashuav, David HaMelech uses in Tehillim, is his special joy. Like, we are Hashem's favorite plant. Hashem was so excited to plant us there. Like, we were the ideal fruit. This was the culmination of a big plan, the Kavla Mishpat. And Hashem thought that with the Jewish people in the land of Israel, we would have a nation of justice. And instead, what did we get? V'hine mushpach, litztaka, v'hine tzaka. Hashem wanted justice, and instead he got mushpach, which is like the opposite of justice. And he wanted righteousness, v'hine tzaka. Instead I get complaints. Righteousness means that you go out of your way to extend yourself beyond what you're required to do. Complaints mean that you didn't do what you were supposed to do. If somebody's complaining, it means that they weren't satisfied, that you obviously didn't do what you didn't. So that's the picture here. That's what's it's not again, I'm so angry with the Christians that, the Jewish people are this or that. I mean, the picture was very clear why we were kicked out of our land. It doesn't say because we didn't believe in Yashki, that's why Hashem kicked us out. Hashem says why he kicked us out of the land. Not, they supposedly believe in this book. And they make up such silly. You can't have there's nothing rational or reasonable or theologically sound about Christian beliefs. And there's no way you can be a Jew for Jay or any of that kind of. They just talk to somebody ignorant. You know, oh, Hashem was angry with you. You didn't believe in Yashki. That's why you got thrown out. Just believe in Yashki and everything will be great. But it's clear the reason that we were kicked out of the land was, it's right here, that it was supposed to be a land of justice and righteousness. And it wasn't. So Hashem took away the fence. That's what it says. And the moment that we commit ourselves to justice and righteousness, then we become worthy of having the land of Israel. That's the. But you can't have it both ways. It's one thing if you want to make up a religion. It's another thing if you say our religion is based on your books. This is what Hashem said. You can't change the record. But there's no logic to it. It's really. It's frustrating because they like to lump Judaism together with Islam and with Christianity, and these religions are nonsense, total nonsense. There's no scientific method to it. There's no common sense approach to it that you can easily show that their scriptures are just don't make any sense. You don't get answers. So you really. But what do you do? You know, everybody likes to say all the religions are the Quran is so corrupted, and you know it's there are things in there that Quran also talks about Judaism, and he mentions things that are wrong, that are just he has his events and his name's wrong of things that happened, and so their answer is, well, we corrupted our books to make them look bad. The only problem was that 200 years before Muhammad came around, the Torah was already translated into Greek. There was no way we could have corrupted. And it's a fact. It's not even a. It's a fact that the Quran is wrong. And it's a fact that the Christianity is wrong. It's not even, well, there's our religion, there's their religion. It's just wishful thinking. but what happens is in America we're all raised that all the religions are fair and where they're all the same, and so kids want to intermarry. Why not? We're all part of this is what I believe, this is what you believe, we're all Americans, why can't we? But they're not really taught that Christianity lied about what it says. They don't pay attention to what it says. But it there is no argument that, well, Hashem was angry with us because we didn't accept Yashki. That's why we got the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It says clearly in God's handwriting why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It says that. It doesn't say for any other reason. So how does somebody have a right to say that, well, maybe God didn't mean that. He meant something else. But you say you believe in this book. You can't rewrite the script. But anyway, that's what they do. That's the nonsense of it. And But it's clear, though, that that we had not lived up to what we were supposed to, and we were punished. And Hashem still sees us as His beloved children. And really, it's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Originally, we were in the Garden of Eden, and Adam was in the garden, and he didn't live up. Adam and Eve didn't live up to what they were supposed to, and they got kicked out. And then we were eventually found our way to the land of Israel, and we didn't live up to the way we were supposed to, and we got kicked out. And what's scary is we've been given another chance in the land of Israel. So it's up to us to try to make the just society that we don't get kicked out again. And there are people that are trying, but we all have work to do. We have work to do in all our communities to be good, just, kind people. But Hashem wants mishpat. He wants justice. It means that no corruption, and beyond that, he wants tzedakah. And that's the basis for society. I get frustrated. If you ever follow politics, you see, growing up, I used to believe in the United States that we were not, we didn't have corruption in our society. I mean, I thought, you go to school and you learn American history and, we're the good guys, right? And then and then you grow up and you learn that all societies have different levels of corruption and, things that are, people on the take and things that are happening that aren't supposed to. I mean, the city government in Georgia, forget about it. Gwinnett or this and that or the, what did they just, they had this Beltway project where, people were using money for personal things, and so but that's Hashem expects better from us. In other words, the basis for society is justice. you're not allowed to misappropriate funds. And beyond that, Hashem wants us to be tzedakah, to give, to be righteous people. And instead, what is it that people are complaining? So now we begin the hoys, just in time. Good to see you, Mrs. Yaffe. The hoys are a little bit like ois. They translate them as woe. I'm not sure. It's kind of a, I guess it's like a lament. He's lamenting some of the things that people were doing at that time. So some of them are clear and some are not so clear. The first one here mentions the following. Hoy, whoa. And again, this would be speaking to a practice that people in his time were doing that was not good. So he says, whoa, or it is wrong. Those that make one house, megia bayis bevayis sada besada. What they do is they join a house to a house and a field to a field. And basically what the people would do is they would move up the property line. If there was their property extended so far, and they would slowly move the property over, so they would be taking over their fellow people's property. That's one idea of what perhaps it means. Another idea was that basically the poor people could live in between properties. And so in order to not allow, in other words, if somebody didn't have a house, so your property's here, someone else's property's there, and then I guess the squatters could live in the no man's land. But in order to kick out the squatters, they built one house up to the next, so there was no room for the squatters. Something like that here.
Well, they've done that like in Decatur, where they raised the taxes so high that all the poor people who were living there for years moved out, so that the resettlers came in, you know, and bought up all this property. Now the taxes are so high that even middle class people can't live there. So, I mean, this is the kind of thing that people do.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's right. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we do the same thing today, only we call it something else.
Something else. That's right.
but it means the same, no matter what.
That's true. That's correct. That's right. You have to put ad efes mokum until there's no place. People have, you drive the people out, you take away the place that they had to be. Voshaftim levavim bekerforth. And you're going to be there by yourself. In other words, you don't allow other people to share it. Verse 9. Va'azna Hashem svakus, and Hashem says, and this expression ba'azni means in your ears, like, you know, listen to what I'm going to say and listen well. This is going to be, it should enter your ears. Sometimes it goes over people's heads. This Hashem says, the prophet says, ba'azni, in my ears, Hashem spoke. Im lo batim rabim, these fancy houses that you have, you kicked out the poor. These houses are going to be l'shama. They're going to be desolate. Gedolim etovim, and they're large and they're big. They're going to be me'ein yoshev. They're going to be empty. Yes.
I mean, would you want squatters to live next to your property? I don't see.
No. Well, today we look at squatters in some ways as being people that are stealing or people that are. But if there are poor people that want to that are honest and nice, and they just need to build themselves up and start somewhere. And there's no man, you know, and there's property for them to develop and live and follow the rules. And, you know, a large share of our homeless are people that are on drugs. And some of them are not as, it's difficult. That's really the challenge we face, is that there used to be poor people who were poor, not because they were criminal, not because they did anything wrong. They were just poor. And we want to help people that don't have, but we want to make sure that they won't take advantage of us. We want to make sure they won't harm us. We want to make sure that if we give them money, they won't use it for drugs or alcohol or other types of things that won't really help them. And we don't know. And so that's really the, and sometimes if you try to help them, they could take advantage of you. So that's the challenge we have. But it didn't used to be though. It used to be that you had legitimate poor people that just needed a place. They needed a help. They needed a new start.
It was always in the Jewish communities that you gave money for the needs of these people, and nobody looked down at them or you, that you were fulfilling a mitzvah by taking care of fellow Jews.
Yeah.
That was the way we lived years ago. Things changed, that's all. You know, our whole perception of society changed.
Right, right. 10. Ki aser simde kerem. And one of the things that would happen is that people would have big vineyards, and instead of producing a lot, yasu bo achas, they would only produce a small amount. Vezera chomer, and see, in a farm, if you have to plant a lot and it produces a little, then you actually lost your investment. That's a, and so because the people were, I guess because they were stingy and they didn't want to share and they weren't allowing the poor to survive, so Hashem is saying you're going to lose your palaces and your vineyards and your things that you have, and your fields won't produce. That's basically that was the first hoy. Hoy number two, verse 11. There are people that don't necessarily harm the poor, but they don't live a lifestyle. I think they call it a bohemian lifestyle, where they're just into drinking and indulging themselves, and we would call it living like an animal-like existence. And so the first thing is the worst, where they're actually harming poor people, where they're actually begrudging poor people, taking away from poor people, harming others. Then there's another type of person who's not harming anybody, but he's just living a life of drinking and partying and let's read the words. Hoy mashkim b'boker. He says, woe is to those who wake up in the morning, and what do they wake up for? Sheker, to drink. I mean, you got to be really into drinking to do it right away, first thing in the morning. Yirtfu, and they chase. Machwe b'neshef yayin. They chase after wine. Like, that's what their passion is for really good wine. They'll run after it. They'll wait up all night to get it. And when they get it, yadlikim, it lights them up. They light up with the wine. In the Hebrew, the word hadlakas, like hadlakas neris, you light a candle. These people are lit up with alcohol, with wine. V'hayu kina v'nevo tof v'chalil. And they have lots of music, very loud music, loud music. They have the harp and the flute and the v'yayin mishtem, and they have these big parties. Now, very interesting, this is verse 12. This describes the sin. Now again, the earlier hoy was very easy. They were harming people. They weren't caring for the poor. This is that they live a life of indifference. What do? The ace pol Hashem lo yabit. They don't really care for godliness. They have no interest in seeing a point to life. They just, life is about eating and drinking and partying. That's all it is. Umaisa yadu. What?
It's all indulgence.
Indulgence, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Umaisa yadiv lo ro. And they don't really look at the things that Hashem has done. So this was the second part of the society. There was a part that actively took from the poor, that didn't practice justice, right? So Hashem said, we'll take care of them. They're going to lose their wealth. Then there's the part that just indulges themselves and eats and drinks and music and all kinds of stuff. And they don't look at Pol Hashem. They don't look at Hashem's things, and they don't look at his creations. Verse 13. Therefore, what's going to happen? Lekein go la'ami. That's why my people's going to go be kicked out. Mibli das, because they, you know what it is. Das means they don't think. They just eat and drink and enjoy themselves. They're not thinking. Humans were created with the divine, the spark of the divine, that we're put in the world to accomplish things. We're not put here just to eat and drink. And the Romans, they used to eat, and then they would go and they would throw it up, and then they would eat again. There was no purpose even to the eating. Like, and that's life. You know, like the in our society, like you can sit in front of a TV or a movie all day long, and you can watch the same shows, and you can just... There's like no meaning to life, but it's like no thinking. Mibli das, and so the people just weren't thinking. Kavod masay rav, and the honored people are going to end up in a famine. V'hamon etzichei tzamba, and the people will also have thirst. Verse 14. Now here's an interesting description. It talks about what we would say is Gehenna or hell. I don't like to use that word, but that's what it is. If a person lives an existence where they don't think, they never think about what life is about and what they're supposed to do, and they're only here to like enjoy themselves, so they've kind of misused the life that Hashem has given them, and so therefore they go to the netherworld. It's an interesting description over here. L'chein, therefore, hechivu shol. They're going to have to make a large space in Gehenna for these people, because there are a lot of them coming. they better hear Chivu Sho'al. Like, the Sho'al is the, they call it the netherworld or the hell. Hell has to open up wide because there are a lot of people coming. Upora people. And it has to open its mouth. And because Levli Chok for your Hadara Vamona Ushona Alezubo. And all these multitudes are going to go there. Verse 15. Now, what happens in Gehenna? Now, some people, there's an idea that the even righteous people sometimes have certain sins that they need to go to Gehenna for a short amount of time before they can go into Gan Eden. In other words, there are people that lived their lives, but they still had certain rough edges. And they may have to go to Gehenna for a certain amount of time to get those edges fixed. So that's what, that's why we have this month of Elul. Hashem wants to be nice to us, to, we can fix it now in a much easier way. Or if a person waits until after they pass away, then they have to go to Gehenna for a certain amount of time to get those rough edges worked on. So what happens over there? Verse 15, Vishach Adam. People will be humbled. Vayishbal Ish. And a man will be brought down. It's interesting how it goes from Adam to Ish. Man, Adam is like a higher form of man, and then Ish. Veinei gevoim, those that are arrogant, tashfilanu. In other words, there are people that they are otherwise good people, but they have too much arrogance, and that's not. They're not ready to go to Gan Eden, to heaven, with arrogance. That's something that Hashem can't tolerate, is arrogance. So sometimes they have to go down to the netherworld for a little while to be lowered, and then once they're lowered, then they can come up to Gan Eden. And so, it's, like I said, arrogance is not something that, is a good thing. Verse 16. V'yigva Hashem's focus b'mishpat. And when there's justice, Hashem is lifted up high. We have this in the Yamim Neroim davening, which is very interesting. And what makes a person holy? Vakela Kadosh Niktesh Bitzdaka, the Hashem becomes sanctified in tzedakah, in not feeding one's, you know, not indulging oneself, but in giving to others. That's how holiness is reached. That's how a person is uplifted. So a society should be not that people walk around in arrogance and in self-indulgence, but in righteousness, and that's really where holiness is. Verse 17, Urukavashim Kedabram, the Karbos Mechim Go Yochelu, and once the haughty ones are no longer around, so then the sheep, the lamb, is always considered the meek one. Then the lambs can graze Kedabram whenever they the lambs will be able to go. And the sojourners, they can basically the gerim are strangers, that are people that are not from here. Strangers, people don't like people that are strange, that are different, which is wrong. And strangers have no one to stick up for them, but Hashem sticks up for them. That's a constant theme throughout Tanakh, is that Hashem sticks up for the poor and the sojourners, the strangers. So the haughty people will be lowered down, and then the lamb and the strangers, they're the ones that are going to eat. Okay, so that's the end of the second hoy. Okay, hoy number three. I think there's 24 hoys altogether. There's a little bit of a break. That's right. Hoy, hoy. 18. Hoy Moshke Oven. There's some people that pull sin onto themselves. It's a... we have what's called a Yetzirah, which is an evil inclination, and basically there's something in certain humans that causes them to, there's an attraction to doing certain things that are not good, that are evil, and people pull themselves to sin. So woe is to those who pull themselves to sin. The Chevlei Shav, they have like ropes. They sin with these ropes. Let's see.
Can I ask you something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm sorry, because I just jumped in. So the thing is that you probably remember this, but I'm not seeing anything chronological. In fact, the opposite of chronological, because At one point it says that people are going to be exiled because they were so thoughtless.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're saying that when we reach a certain point and we've gotten rid of the haughty people, and we've knocked the stuffing out of the haughty people, then God will be exalted through mm-hmm. judgment and sheep will graze.
And that's so, a futuristic version.
Right.
And then we go back.
Right. So is mm-hmm. Isaiah going into the future and then back again into the present situation?
That's a good point. I think that these were actually set at different times. In other words, we read them all together, mm-hmm. but it could be a whole month he focused on this group of people or this thought, and then it just got recorded over here. But he is going back and forth. That's one of the challenges of prophecy, is that, and you're absolutely right, before we were talking about messianic times, or the haughty ones will be lowered down, and then the strangers are the ones that are going to be able to, and the lambs are the ones that are going to be able to, and then we go back to the society again. Okay. HaOmrim, verse 19. These people say, Yemahar Yechishim Aseh, let them hurry up, Laman Nir V'tikra V'tavonu Atas Kodesh Yisrael V'neda. Hashem will bring the they kind of challenge Hashem to prove that he's going to punish them. They say, hurry up, let's see it, I'll believe it when I see it. It's not, this verse isn't so clear, verse 19, but that's how I understood it. In other words, these people pull sin on themselves and they lead a certain lifestyle, and then you say Hashem doesn't like that. They say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing, or so to speak, like.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this is the prophet talking, so then, they're saying, well, you've said all of this. You say all of this is going to happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where is it? Didn't happen. Didn't happen yet. It's almost a challenge to Isaiah mm-hmm. as well. Okay.
Right, let's see, right? You hear that from people, though. I can't tell you how many books I've seen that where somebody is taught a certain thing is right, and then they experiment. Experiment means they sin, mm-hmm. and lightning didn't strike them.
Right.
And so they say, okay, nothing happened, so it's okay. And that's like a common theme that people, they're almost asking for lightning to... Hashem is very merciful, and if somebody makes a mistake, Hashem allows them to come back. And sometimes a person uses that idea that Hashem doesn't punish right away and says, it must be, it's okay. It's like, bring it on, Okay.
I got away with it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Verse 20. Ahoy, and this one I found interesting also. Another one. Omrim l'ra tov l'tov ra. They say what is bad is good, and what is good is bad. Double speak. Any of you read Animal Farm? You remember that kind of the... sometimes in society, that's what happens, is that people say what is bad is good, and what is good is bad. Shemayim choshech l'or. What's darkness is light. V'or l'choshech. And what's light is darkness. Mar la musuk, what's bitter is sweet, and what's sweet is bitter. Mm-hmm. People are like, it's like the opposite, like the things are the opposites. There are examples in our society. There are some times where you read things and you say that it's the exact opposite of what they're, of what they're saying or what they're doing. We don't know.
It's much worse than dictatorships.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're supposed to focus on how great the dictator is and how
mm-hmm.
great they're making it and how great the whole welfare of society is.
And it's really bad, right? In other words, it's
really bad. The evidence before your eyes is that it's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's a special kind of deceit, just telling people that they can't even speak up and they can't believe the evidence in their eyes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And even when it's bad, they have to say it's good. Right, that's correct. You see that with the dictatorships, and you see that in those societies.
You see it in America, too, all the time. People mm-hmm. are believing in completely false ideas.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And they're promulgating them, and they're teaching their children about them, and so on.
So, like Rashi says, that when they say what's sweet is bitter, is that they say if you serve God... Oh no, you don't want to do that. That's you know, religious fanatics. That's you know, that's a bad word. You know, you don't want to. And that's what the sweetest thing. You know, that's like the, you know, a person wants to be pious, or they want to be religious, and you'd think that society would say that's a great thing. That's a bad word. You can, religion is a bad word in certain places. It's not looked up on, and they look up at a different thing. Okay. Verse 21. A few more hoys over here. We're almost done. Let's see. Vahoy, chachamim beinehem. Woe to people who are wise in their own eyes. In other words, they're not, if you would compare them to other people, they wouldn't be wise. But in their own eyes, everything they do is wise. Hoy chachamim, those that are wise beinehem. They're only interested in seeing it in their eyes. The neged pneihem, and when they look at their own face, they think they're navon. They think they're understanding. Wisdom is not whatever they do. It must be wise because they did it.
That's they got away with it.
And they got away with it, right? That's right. So again, it's just, it's interesting. Like these are things that would speak to most societies. You know, like when, you know, what or mistakes that people made. 22. Hoy giborim lishtos yain. People use their strength to drink wine. Anshe Chayil and men of valor, Limsok Shecher, are out there to pour the beer or to pour to mix the wine. Like the, if the goal of society and the effort of society is to produce more wine or more indulgence, then we're in real trouble. Noah made that mistake right after the flood, that one of the first things he did was he planted vines. And so and it was important that the world have vine, and Hashem wants us to enjoy the world, but that's not the purpose of the world. When a person sees the purpose of the world is putting all of our efforts into getting the wine, putting the giborim, the strong men, in the wine, then we're in trouble. Maxtike Rasha, those that justify the wicked ones are righteous. Ekev Shokhan, and they take bribes. Vesidka Sadikim, and the righteousness of those that are righteous, they take away from them. So what happens because of this society? Verse 24, Lechein Kaocho Kash Loshen Eish. Therefore, just like a fire burns stubble, Bakshash Lahava Yirfa, when you have like a fire, it burns away things and it turns things into dust. Kamach Yia Uporcham Kaavak Yala, and then the only thing left after like a fire is like dust. Kimosu Es Torah Hashem Svakus. The people have rejected the Torah of Hashem. Ves Imris Kodesh Yisrael, and even not only the Torah, which is the laws. There's a certain area of things that are laws. We're not allowed to steal, or things you're not supposed to, you know, keep Shabbos and kashrus. But beyond the laws, there's concepts which are, we're not supposed to be arrogant, we're supposed to care for the poor. Those are the Imros Hashem. So people have rejected the laws, that's Imros Kodesh Yisrael, and the sayings of the Holy One of Israel, Ni Eitzu. They have despised. I mentioned this before, how close that is to Nazi, Niyatsu. Like they've made it disgusting. They've despised the things of Hashem. So therefore, 25, Al Kain Chora Af Hashem. Hashem's anger burns Ba'amo, on His people. So, and I have also a theme that even when Hashem is angry with us, He's angry with His people. We're never He's angry because we're supposed to be His people, because He expects better. He put His hand on us when He hit us. And the mountains will shake. And the people will be killed, and they'll be scattered around their corpses, all around. And it still won't be enough. In other words, there'll be a destruction. There'll be people will be killed, and they still won't get the message. This was the we have, like, in the summertime, but first we have like the Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, we have the fast at the beginning of the siege, and the Hashem didn't immediately destroy the Beis HaMikdash. There were warnings. In fact, there were countries that overran the land of Israel, that sent the people into exile. The people had plenty of time to try to fix things. And so here also, like, Hashem brings a punishment, and he thought it was like shock therapy. Something would happen. And it didn't, unfortunately. So therefore, v'nasa neis l'goyim merochok. So he then talked some far-off nation to come from afar. It's almost like, you know, the U.S. went over to fight Iraq, you know, like the Romans, that they should come to Israel, and the Babylonians, that they should come to... They came from a far distance, put it in their minds to come and attack. V'shirochlo, m'kseoros, v'nei mehera kal yavo, and they came very quickly. Ain oyef, and they didn't get tired, 27, v'ain koshobo, and they didn't stumble, lo yinu v'lo yishan, and they were aggressive, they didn't fall asleep, like people thought, oh, they'll change their mind, they won't come, it won't happen, lo nitak eza chalotzov, and they didn't take off their belt, v'lo nitak shuruch, and their shoestring didn't break. There are many times when things don't happen, stop the mechanics. It takes a lot of effort to make a war or to bring an army up against a people. And so people always said, well, the things will happen, it won't come about. When it came time for the punishment, they didn't fall asleep, their shoestrings didn't break, nothing went wrong. Verse 28, Ashokitz of Shinunim, all their arrows were sharpened. You got to sharpen your arrows. If your arrows aren't sharp, they won't work. The Kol Chashdosav, and you have to bend your bows. So I was thinking about this. I guess you have to break in your bow. If when you pull it, it doesn't bend a little bit, you won't get the twang, you know, of the arrow. And so you gotta. So you can't wage war right now if your bows won't bend. So when it came time, the bows were all bent. Adrochus prostus, and the horses were all had their hoofs on. Kitzar next to the gal kasufa, and the wheels of the chariots were there. 29. Shagalo kalavi, and they were roaring like a lion, and the lion cubs, the shavik fiyavi noem v'yekso teref, and they grabbed a hold of their prey, the yaflid v'ein matzil, and they retrieved their prey, which was the Jewish people, and there was nobody to save us. V'yinoem olav, and he was like growling over us, like we, an animal, when they have their prey, they like scare away anybody else from getting it, they growl over it. Kanomas yam, like the growling of the sea. V'nibel oret, v'hine choshech, and there was darkness. Tsar, v'or choshech barifa.
Isn't this foretelling Rome?
Mm-hmm.
The conquest of Israel by the Romans?
It really both, but in other words, he's describing what would happen to the city. In other words, we would get a warning, and the people wouldn't catch the warning, and then this nation would come from afar with an anger and with a vengeance, and there would be no hope to stop it. And that was the vision that he painted for the kings. It's very poetic. It's very colorful, like if you know the with the lion cubs and the lions and the. But when you make a message in a poetic way, so then people envision it. They have to think about it, you know, and they have to try to see it. And so the hope was that people would get the message. So this is like for us, it's good before Rosh Hashanah to. To get the message or to help a person focus on the priorities of the, because this is the time when Hashem accepts our teshuvah, our coming back, or our we can be hopeful.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.